Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, welcome to Family Church. We're excited. Glory to God for what God's doing here in Corey. I've been thinking so much this week about God's plans for this town and why he would have us here. You know, and God doesn't ever plan a church or have you plan a church. You know, and we do things around here led by the Spirit of God. Amen. But he doesn't ever plan a church without a purpose for it. Amen. And so I've just been endeavoring to know more and more what God's purpose is for it. And I've just been getting excited and stirred. You know, I got to be away. Actually, I was down in Tennessee this week seeing Reverend Greer. He was down there ministering. And just such a refreshing time and so much direction that came out of that. Amen. But it just stirred me all the more, as I think about the souls, the people that need to be reached, the people that need a good Bible preaching church, I've often said that, just because a church has a cross on the door doesn't make it a good place to be. And I'm not here to tear down other churches. That's not my job. That's not my goal. That's not what I want to do. But I do know this, unless the word is preached, that the people don't get set free. Praise the Lord. But when the word is preached, that there's true freedom in the word. And I just get so stirred and excited. Because I saw what God did in my life, amen, and I see what he does in other people's lives. Anybody who would connect to the word of God, praise the Lord, he's open to them, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Now, you may have noticed that there's been some glitchiness going on up here. How many know that God doesn't fail you, but sometimes technology will? Praise the Lord. So we just do our best to deal with it, Jesus, he didn't have fancy computer screens and stuff like that, and sometimes there's legs and responses between the wires back there and the wires up here, but praise the Lord, we just flow with it anyways, amen. But and if you can't, you don't know what to say, if you're singing the song, you don't know what to say, well, glory to God, just say praise the Lord then, amen, hallelujah. Well, God is good, amen. I hope you're ready for church. Tonight's message is called, Are You Living Free? Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you living free? This is such a near and dear subject to me personally. I was a person who lived bound by the devil for many years. My wife mentioned that I grew up in a church and I did. And they were sweet and wonderful people. Amen. But the truth of the word wasn't so much a priority, it seemed like sometimes when, and that's not they just didn't know any better, I think is what it was. But, I grew up and I went through a really hard time through my life. Through my teens, I was really bound by the things of the devil. I was really caught up into the things of the devil, and I lived a bound life. Amen. I lived. In such horrible depression and such horrible addictions and stuff like that. And when I got into my late 20s, I found a good Bible preaching church. Amen. That was my pastor there in Jamestown at the Jamestown Family Church. And glory to God, it changed my life. I was in and out of mental institutions. I was on medication. I was on all kinds of things that controlled my life or that tried to control my life or to get me to just be able to live life. And how many know that the Word of God set me free. Hallelujah. And if God did it for me, I know that he would do it for anyone else. And so that's what stirs me and excites me. And that's why I think even as, my wife and I were coming down here tonight and we stopped at Walmart to grab a drink real quick. And as I stayed in the truck like a good husband, hallelujah, and just let her do her thing. Amen. And as she went in there, that was just a joke, by the way, praise the Lord. But, a good husband probably would have gone in for her. But I was preparing for service. I was sitting there and just watching people, and let's face it, I was just being lazy as well when it gets right down to it. But praise the Lord for my wife being nice to me. She brought me a drink anyways, but that's not the point of all this. Amen. I was sitting there and I was looking at people, and my heart just went out for some of these people. I noticed a lot of different things. I noticed people that weren't moving so good. I noticed people that were bound in poverty. I noticed and you can see it on people. You can see sometimes the oppression of the devil on people. That doesn't mean I was judging people, but I noticed things, when I see that, my heart just lapped. I prayed recently to the Lord. I said, God, let me see the people in that town like you see the people in that town, and when Jesus, When Jesus saw the multitude, it said he was moved with compassion because they were scattered and faint, like sheep having no shepherd. Amen. And I know that the Lord has placed me here to place us here to do something. Amen. But me personally too, as a pastor, and I'm just so excited for that. Yeah. But it's to deliver the word first and foremost, because Jesus said it's the word that sets people free. Amen. Glory to God. Well, that's quite an introduction. I didn't plan all that, but God is good anyways. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you living free? You know, so many Christians talk about freedom in Christ. Praise the Lord. We think about freedom in Christ. It's a very popular thing to think about the freedom that Christ gives us. And I'm all on board with that. Amen. But freedom in Christ does not mean free for all in Christ. It doesn't mean that you get set free from your sin and that you can just go out there in the world and live like you always did anyways. Now you just got Jesus to cover you to get you in. That wasn't the intent of Jesus. And that makes a mockery of the gospel. It makes a mockery of what God wants to do. God wants people set free, but he set us free for a purpose. Amen. Now, how many know if I had just gotten set free, glory to God, and I didn't ever go on living for God, just did my own thing, there wouldn't be a church in Mayville. There wouldn't be a church in Corey. You know what I mean? Because God does things through people. Amen. Of course, I'm not the only one that started it, but God has to give the vision to somebody. Amen. And he's brought us all together to do it. Amen. Well, I know you're looking for the word, so we're going to turn there. Why don't we start in John 8:36? Praise God. Hallelujah. The word is good. God is good. Amen. And when I say God is good, I mean God is actually good. I'm not just saying God is good, but then he sends tornadoes and, fires and cancer and all these horrible things that come on the earth. You know, Jesus said we're going to deal with some things here in life. That's not necessarily God's will. It wasn't God's will that these things happen, because it wasn't God's will that man fell. Amen. God gave man choice, and man continues sometimes to live outside of God's will. Amen. But Jesus came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And we're going to get into that tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look what it says here in John 8:36. It says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. You know, he could have just said, if the Son makes you free, you're free. Amen. Right? He could have said that, but he didn't say that. The Bible says, if the Son makes you free, actually Jesus said about himself, if I make you free, you're free indeed. That means you're truly free. It means you're really free. It doesn't matter what comes against you, what the devil tries to pull up, what kind of things are going on in your life. It does not matter that Jesus still made you free. Praise the Lord. It is time that Christians start living like people who have been set free. Glory to God. It's time that Christians start living like people who are free and free indeed. Not just free. Praise the Lord. You know, some people just think it's free. Oh, it's free to be a Christian. Yeah, it's free. But then you are free. Hallelujah. There should be something in your life that resembles something in Christ's life. Amen. Why? Actually, not just something. We should resemble him in all areas of our life. Glory to God. Bible tells us that if we say that we follow after him, then we ought to walk at least the way he walked. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I think I dealt with this a few weeks ago. You know, it didn't mean Jesus did a chicken walk, so you got to do a chicken walk. It doesn't mean that he strutted a certain way, so you got to strut a certain way. It means that when he walked around and he did certain things and he followed and lived in the word of God, glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, this is how a person is set free, is when they follow, when they grab onto the word of God and they follow it and they say, my life is now going to be something different than it was before. My life is going to look differently. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you got to start off in faith. What is faith? It means that you ain't seeing it yet. It means you don't know yet. It means you don't necessarily have the answer. I don't necessarily know how I'm going to be free from this situation, but this one thing I do know, that if the Son set me free, then I'm free indeed. Hallelujah. It means I'm already free. Glory to God. I don't know how the freedom is going to manifest. I don't know how my life is going to match up with the word, but I don't need to know all that. All I need to know is that the Son has set me free indeed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And see, we just need to know something. Amen. See, this is a problem in Christianity, is that Christians just don't seem to know something. You know, when you read these great, wonderful stories about the apostles walking around and doing these things and wonderful things, praise the Lord, we think, oh, they just did that. But no, they knew something. Yeah. Amen. The reason they did all that stuff is because they knew who they were in Christ. They knew that they were free indeed. They knew that they were given the ability. Why? Because the one who was delivering the ability was there telling them they had it. Well, guess what? The one who was there delivering them that ability then is still the same one that's here delivering the ability for you to do it today. Hallelujah. It does not matter where you came in from. It doesn't matter what you've been dealing with. It doesn't matter what kind of obstacles have been coming against you. Praise the Lord. But the Son has set you free, and you are free indeed. Hallelujah. And the question is, what are we free from? Right? That would be a good thing to ask. Okay, great, I'm free, Pastor Jeff. I love that. Praise the Lord. We can jump and shout, we can run and dance and sing, and we can get excited, and we can shake our neighbors and say, we're free indeed, but what the heck are we free from? Praise the Lord. I know you want to know. Probably will have to tell you at some point during the message. Praise the Lord. If you don't know what you are free from, how will you know when you are free? I mean, you can know that the Word says that, but how are you really going to know? See, the Bible says we got to know some things. It's not just enough to read it and say, okay, I memorized scripture. You got to know it. You have to know some things. What are we free from? God set us free from a lot of things. But the most important thing that he set us free from is our sinful nature. Most of the bondage people have, they're not even aware of. As a pastor now for 5 years, as a born-again believer who has been following the plan of God for my life for how many years? Almost 14 years, praise the Lord. One thing that I've noticed over and over and over again is that people who are bound almost never know that they're bound. They may feel the effects of it, and they may not like the effects of it, but they don't even know that they're bound. As you go out there in the world, as we're in that Walmart parking lot, you go into Walmart, go into any store, I don't care where you're at. Go into the mall, praise the Lord. You go down south, go out west, go out east, praise the Lord. Go to another country, and the problem is all the same. People are bound, and most of the time they don't even know they're bound. You know, I grew up, I thought I was a Christian. Praise the Lord, I thought that was enough. I thought I was a Christian, I thought I was good enough. I thought I was a Christian, and that at least got me into heaven, and that's the answer. And those things are true, and those things are great. Praise the Lord. But there was more to it than that. I was still bound as a Christian. I was bound for many years as a Christian, and that wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's plan. God never plans for his people to be bound. In fact, if you are bound, it's not on God's end. Amen. Praise the Lord. Most of the bondage people have, they're not even aware of. It is not freedom from the trial of life. We have to understand that. Jesus said that in this life, we're going to see trials. Freedom that Christ delivers is not freedom from trial. Now, I want to say that, but I also want to qualify that. Now, God does give us victory over trial. Jesus said there's nothing that will come against you that you won't be able to deal with. Praise the Lord. That's the Jeff Michener version. Amen. But that's basically what he said. Amen. That he's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. There is trial coming, but he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the trial. I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. And the world is where you have trial. Amen. To be free from trial, you got to be dead. That's the only way to be free from trial. Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome this life, this world. He said, it's going to happen. He told us, he warned us, it's going to happen. The only way to be free from trial is to be free of this world. And the only way to be free of this world is to be dead. To be 6 feet under, to be lying horizontal. You got to be moved on to somewhere else. If you're in heaven, I should say, then you'd be free from trial. But, you know, that's the truth of the matter. We are going to face trial. Jesus did not come so we wouldn't face trial. He came so we could have victory over the trial. He came so we could live a victorious life. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. God endeavored that we would have an abundant life. So you need to ask yourself, if you're saved here today, if you're a Christian here today, you need to ask yourself, am I living an abundant life? The way that God, and now when I say abundant life, I don't mean that necessarily you got, you know, just $100 bills falling out of your pocket. You're driving a Mercedes Benz and, you know, or whatever, and you got a really nice mansion up on the hill. That's not just what he's talking about. That's not the focus of what he's talking about. All that stuff is great. I don't have anything against somebody having a nice car, a nice house, a nice clothes, whatever. You have have as much nice stuff as you want. I don't care about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's not concerned about that either. In fact, God wants you to be blessed. But he wants your life to feel abundant. Amen. I can tell you what, that there's been my wife and I have always said, you know, one of the wonderful things about our relationship is that it's good. Amen. And one of the things I love about having a good relationship is that no matter what has gone on in our life, one thing that we always have is each other. And we've always said that. And God has blessed us. And there is an abundance in that. And of course, I don't want to cheapen that and just say that it's not something it is. But that's not what I'm preaching about tonight. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. But to be free from the trials of this world, we know that we're not going to be alive. And that's just the way it is. Amen. But he did set us free from something. Now, let's go to, we're right there, verse 20, where were we? Or 36, right? Back up to 29. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to get to some scriptures we see a lot. It says, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. I love that, man. Oh, glory to God. Jesus gave us so many answers just in that one scripture. Yeah. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do. He hasn't left me alone because there's something that I do too. Because I always do those things that please him. Yeah. Boy, that would fly in the face of a lot of people's theology. But Jesus said it. It was his words, not mine. Jesus always had God with him because he always did the things which please God. What were those things? Was it healing the people? No. That's not what he did. That's not what he did specifically that was always pleasing God. Was it feeding the multitude of people? That's not what it was either. What it was is following the Spirit, doing what God, endeavoring to be in God's plan and to follow God and say, you know what? I'm going to, Lord, wherever you have me go, that's what I'm going to do. It wasn't the things that mattered. It wasn't the healings that mattered. It was the fact that he was willing to go with God and do what God wanted him to do in every aspect, at every moment of his life. That's why he pleased God, and that's why God was always with him. Amen? Praise the Lord. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Glory to God. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Here we see that word indeed again, amen. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a matter of a fact. It will make you free. Yeah. What makes us free? The truth does. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free? Don't you understand, Jesus? I'm American. Hallelujah. I said, I'm American. I live in the U.S. of A. I am free and I am free. And you can't. I'm not in any kind of bondage. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, I see Americans all the time. This free, we have a great free name. I'm so thankful for this country. I won't bash this country. I love this country. You should too, amen? Because God has set it up, praise the Lord, to do great and wonderful things. It's awesome. In fact, the freedom that we do experience here is a reflection of this word. Praise the Lord. But just because you're American doesn't mean that you're free from the bondages, spiritual bondages. It doesn't mean that you're just free from everything. Amen. It means that you're free to walk down the street pretty much. Amen. You can pretty much go where you want and do what you want to do and say what you want to say and wear what you want to wear. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I've seen people do, I saw this new, there's this new trend where some people are cutting out the inside of their ear. Praise the Lord. Yeah, they're cutting out. You know, first they had to get the gauges and make their ears bigger. Now they're cutting this out and removing it. I thought, why would you want to do that? I don't know. Praise the Lord. Maybe they want to run faster, I guess. I don't know. Cuts down on their wind drag, you know. I guess if you had big ears, maybe that would be a thing. I don't know. I don't know why you would want to do that. But praise the Lord. How'd I get on that? I don't know. But it doesn't matter. Yeah, because people do whatever they want. This is America. We can do whatever we want. Amen. Actually, I'm going to tell you something. That attitude has kind of hurt the Christian church. It's kind of hurt the church because a lot of people, they come into church and they think, man, if Burger King can have it their way, or if I can have it my way at Burger King, then I should be able to have my way when I sit in these seats. And the problem with that thinking is you're living by your own truth. You're not living by God's truth. It's God's truth that sets us free. It's not your truth. The reason you're here is because you needed something from him. Praise the Lord. If you come in here and you still insist on doing things your own way and being your own person and just everything being about you, praise the Lord. Let's leave the eyes for the phones. Amen. And the pads and the watches. You know what I'm saying? Let's leave all the eyes for that. The rest of it, let's give up on the me thing. Amen. That's one of the things. You know, I recently watched a documentary on, it was World War I. It was something somebody put together about the British during World War I. You know, but I know that, of course, the Americans went through very similar things. And the things that these young men went through is just, I just can't even fathom it. And I think about all those people, World War I and World War II, that sacrificed such great and did such great, provided such a great sacrifice for us. And then people running around here today living like the way they live, and it's just unreal. These people would probably roll over in their graves if they knew, you know? It's just saying, and I'm not trying to be somebody that, like, oh, you know, the future is always worse, you know, because it doesn't have to be that way. We can live good, amen? We don't have to live just, hey, listen, I don't want to go back before smartphones. I know, I like my smartphone. It helps me. It makes things really easy when I got to look something up. You know, when I prepare, it can cut hours off of preparation of a message. Why? Because I remember preparing without a smartphone. What did I do? I had like 10 books and I'm, you know, going back and forth like this and trying flipping through. Now I just beep, 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 and it's there. You know, it's there's benefits to these things. Amen. So I'm not saying that everything new is bad, but we, praise the Lord, we need to be set free from the things that aren't, amen, aren't good, amen, praise the Lord. Well, I went on that rant, we got to get back here, amen. I want to stay on track, at least somewhat. Where are we? Praise the Lord, 33. They answered to him, we are Abraham. Okay, we talked about that, amen. We talked about the Americans, glory to God. Jesus answered them, said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. Praise the Lord. But a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Glory to God. And see, this is the problem. Is that it's sin that binds us. It's sin that gets us. So we can be the freest nation in the world. It does not matter. If we're wrapped up in sin, if we're tormented by sin, we're bound to things that God didn't intend us to be bound by. We need to be set free from that. Amen. You know, so there's a kind of a fad in Christian churches today, in many sects of churches, for people to, you know, they just come in and just still do whatever you want to do and just be whatever you want to be. But that's not God's plan. The Bible, you know, I love what my pastor always said. He said, you know, the word or the world was never meant to change the church, but the church was meant to change the world. You know, and today what we have so much of, unfortunately, is we have church that is conforming to the world. We need to be more relevant to what the world is. We need to be doing what the world's doing, because that's how you get people in. No, that's not how you get, well, you may get people in, but you don't get people set free. I don't care about filling a church. I care about getting people that are in the church set free. I care about people who get to live a new life without the bondage of sin. You understand, sin will always be something as long as we're here in the flesh that will be after us. But there is a way that we can live apart from sin, amen? And that's what Jesus intended us to do. Not live in sin, not glorify sin, not make sin some kind of cool thing now all of a sudden, praise the Lord, but being set free from sin, amen? You know, as a pastor, I so many times I deal with people that, you know, with this idea of sin, and, you know, we talk about sin in this church, and we talk about sin with people and things that we shouldn't do and stuff like that. And people, for some reason, they always equate, you know, when a pastor's talking about sin, that they're just trying to keep you from having fun. They're just trying to keep you from doing those things that you want to do. They're just trying to put rules and regulations on you. But if we understand the true purpose of it, that sin actually is what separates us from God. God is our life. God is the one who gives us our breath. God is the one who gives us the ability to rise above any trial, any temptation. He's the one who gives us the ability to be healed, hallelujah, to take our breath, to be able to reproduce, to do those things. The Bible says that he blesses the work of our hands. God does all these things. And so if we're separated from that power, if we're separated from that source, then we have no access to those things that God has for us. It's not that God is withholding us from us. Amen. Is there anybody been in here that's prayed in this week? Is there anybody here that's prayed this month? Have you ever gone to prayer and you thought, man, if my prayer was answered? Do you know God gave us prayer not as a thing to wonder if it would be answered, but he gave us a prayer as an assurity that we would have our answer. In fact, Jesus said that you can go to prayer and you can know that you have the things that you prayed for. Why? Because of who he is, not because of who we are. But sin separates us from that ability. Sin separates us from that power. When we saw in the Garden of Eden, when you saw that Adam sinned, he walked and talked with God. He was in the garden in the cool of the day with God. Every morning, God met Adam and Eve, and he walked with them, and he talked with them, and he shared things that he shared secrets. He shared things with them. There was a relationship. And what did sin do? Sin drove man out of the garden. It pushed God away from man. It wasn't that God didn't want him anymore. It wasn't that God said, oh, you're too tainted. We proved that with Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. But what it did was it separated, because God can't have part of our sinful nature. God will not have part of our sinful nature. And so people who live in sin, Christians who continually live in sin, are Christians that continually live without the power of God. They're Christians that live without the, you know, people wonder, well, why don't we see healings anymore in the church? Is it because it must be not God's will anymore? But see, we don't see that in Scripture. The reason we don't see the healings that we saw in the church in those days is because the church doesn't look like the church looked then. Jesus said, God is with me always because I do those things that please him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So what are we doing? Amen. So what is sin? James 4:17 tells us, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So there's all kinds of different sins, but this is a basic understanding of what sin is. If you know to do good and you do not do it, to you it's sin. It's a sin. If you know that this thing was good for you to do and yet you refuse to do it anyways, it's sin. Well, how do you know to do what's actually good? Well, you know, God gave us the law. He gave us he didn't give us the law to bind us, but he gave us the law to show us where we failed. He gave us the law to show us how we were wrong, because without the law, we didn't understand what sin was. Amen. He didn't give us the law to bind us, but to show us something. Praise the Lord. If you don't know the law, when I say the law, I don't mean just like the Ten Commandments, but the Bible calls the Word of God his law. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Amen. And that's what he's talking about. His word is the law. And so when we don't understand the law, we have nothing to compare what we do to. I remember doing a lot of things that I thought were just fine. But then I got in here, I'm like, wait a minute, it don't line up with that. Wait a minute, God said something different about that. You know, I lived in the world and I fornicated. And at the time, I was a Christian. I thought that was fine. I didn't read that, but I didn't get in the Word and see that. And then all of a sudden, I get in the Word and I find out that fornication can send a person to hell. And I'm thinking, ooh, wait a minute here. Glory to God. You know, when I was in the world, I did drugs. I drank. I did all these things. Thought it was fine. But then when you get in the Word says, ah, that's not true. That's not good. And see, so even though it was fine for me, even though I was okay with it in the moment, what we realize is that it wasn't good because it's not compared to what God's definition of good is. Amen. And so if we're living in these things, we're living bound to those things. Those things control us and they keep us from what God has for us. Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6:12. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Now, I'm not talking about living in bondage either. You know, the one thing, and we've said this so much, since we've been following God, since we've been endeavoring to just please God and to be in his will, we have never lived life that was so enjoyable like we do now. I mean, we have answers to all those questions, all those things, you know, and we went through it. I mean, there was a time we were, praise the Lord, as they say, we were so poor we couldn't pay attention. Yeah. Amen. That's just the truth. We were dirt poor. We were reaching up to touch bottom when we got going on this thing. Amen. We had a little one bedroom apartment. I had a space heater, and when I had my kids over, I couldn't even feed them. Amen. I couldn't feed them because I got to take them to my mom's house because that's just where I live. But, you know, God's word getting in me changed all those things, getting in us changed all those things and brought us to a place, praise the Lord, where we can live in his glory and his blessing. So we live a better life than we ever did, following, not perfectly, but following more closely to the word of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Praise God. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Not everything you do, listen, you can eat anything you want. God, there's no dietary law anymore. God freed us from that. Amen. We can eat bacon. We can eat lobster. Hallelujah. You can now eat clams and crabs. All those things you couldn't eat before. Pork. Anybody like pork? You go to barbecue and it's okay. Praise the Lord. But not all things are helpful. You know, you can eat pork. You can eat bacon. But if you live on bacon, I know some people are on this keto diet. Have you seen that? Where they're like people, my wife and I were talking about that too. Everybody's like posting pictures of all this stuff. But what they're starting to see is that maybe this isn't real good. I said that before, and my brother got on that too. And I said, listen, you can't just eat chicken wings, bacon, and hamburgers all the time without the bun and think that you're going to be okay. It's just, you just can't do that because there's this other side of it, things called cholesterol, amen? And you have a heart that doesn't like cholesterol building up. And I don't care if you're not eating buns or sugar or anything else. If you're just pounding bacon nonstop, you're going to have issues with your heart. It's just going to happen. It's a matter of a fact, amen? I remember, you know my grandfather passed away from a heart attack, you know, and when he was fairly young. And I'm not saying this is an insult towards him at all. But I remember one day, you know, and we just always thought that it was something that you know, kind of ran in our family and stuff. And I remember one day my mom told me that he used to save, and this is old school, a lot of people used to do this, but he used to save his bacon grease and then cook things in it, like his pancakes and stuff like that. Like, we wouldn't even do that. We wouldn't even think about doing that anymore. But I mean, this is the way people lived, you know? And I still don't understand how Southern people aren't just like living to like 12. You know what I mean? It's just, they should be having, you know, because of the way they, you know, gravy and everything and butter. But you know, it's, you know, you just can't, it's not helpful. It's lawful. God ain't gonna say, hey, you can't have that Krispy Kreme. Hallelujah, thank the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know if I like Krispy Kremes. But I like donuts, amen. So I probably like Krispy Kremes. That's all. But if I eat them nonstop, it's not. And so you know you understand. So there's guidance. There's things to understand. There's times where the Lord directs us on things. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. My wife just had that happen recently. She was having some stomach issues with something, and the Lord showed her, don't eat this anymore. Don't have this. Consume this anymore. Well, and that made it easy, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me to Ephesians. So not all things are lawful, or all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Amen? That means we can't just do whatever we want, even though we like to do whatever we want. It's not necessarily good to do whatever you want. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Praise God. We'll read through verse 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. In other words, don't just follow what everything that pops in your head. Don't think that that's just okay and go with it. Why? Because it's futile. It means it's not going to be beneficial to you. Because everything that pops, listen, I've had lots of ideas. Have you ever been to court? I've been to court a few times. Praise the Lord, but I've been there. But this is one thing I've always thought about court. You go to court and you have ideas when you go to court. Well, this is the way it is, bless God. This is the way I think it should be. But you stand before a judge or you get before a lawyer, and they always come up with stuff that you didn't know, and they always come up with stuff that you don't think is right, but you still got to follow it. You still got to do things a certain way. Well, it isn't right sometimes, but that's the way that it is. You understand? Well, see, they know how things work. See, in your mind, it's futile to think the thoughts. I remember, because I was raised, you know, my stepdad was kind of an old country boy, you know. He was kind of brash and did things his way. I remember one of his favorite sayings as I was growing up, it's my way or the highway, you know what I mean? And that's, and I kind of grew up with that same attitude. When I got out there in the world, though, I learned something real quick. It's not always my way or the highway, praise the Lord. Sometimes they'll put you in your place when you just try to do things your way, amen? It sounds good in theory. Amen. It's futile in your mind. It's a futility of your mind. They think, well, I just do it my way. Well, you just do it your way. See where that gets you. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. Some people, you know, some people just eat whatever they want. And they, listen, I'm here too. I'm not trying to talk about your eating habits, amen. I'm probably saying this because, you know, you remember, like Reverend Greer says, I'm preaching to myself right now too. You do understand that. Like, I'm sitting there with you, amen. I may be preaching it, but I'm hearing it too. And every time I'm hearing it, I'm thinking, ooh, I got to change that too. I'm just not telling you everything, amen. I mean, I did tell you I like bacon and lobster and Krispy Kreme donuts. So we are off to a good start in those things, amen. Praise the Lord. But God was saying here, where we're told here, not to walk in the futility of our mind anymore. Don't just listen to your mind. We've been called up to something higher. We've been brought into something greater. We've been given direction that we didn't have before. Amen? Praise the Lord. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from what? The life of God. Listen. If you are alienated from the life of God, there's something that is alienating you, but you have to be somebody who is able to receive the life of God. This is written to believers. Yes. You understand that. The Ephesians were believers in Christ. They were already saved. They were already believers. Folks, you are believers. What he's saying here is don't walk like the Gentiles, the people of the world walk. Don't walk like they do, just in the futility of their mind, because their understanding is darkened. Yeah. Right? And they are being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. What alienates us from the life of God? Notice it didn't just say God, but what alienates us from the life of God? See, there is a difference between God and the life of God. The life of God is the life that God intended us to live. Jesus said in John 10:10. The thief does not come but to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's the life of God, abundant life. How do we get out of that? Because of the ignorance that is in us, amen? Because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over. Look at, this is what happens in the mind. Something appears in the mind. Ooh, I want to touch that. I want to taste that. That seems like, this is how, you know how adultery starts? Starts in the mind. It's a futile thought that happens in the mind. Yeah. Yeah. Almost every person who has ever been married probably at some point in their life will deal with at least one thought of being unfaithful in some area. I can almost guarantee it. And if you're not, well, praise the Lord, you get a special ribbon and a special medal and a special Krispy Kreme donut. Amen? I myself will give it to you. Praise the Lord. But most people will deal with some thought to do something wrong. You'll have a thought sometime to take something that doesn't belong to you. You'll have a thought to lie about something when it would be easier, or because it seems easier to. You'll have a thought to, you know, whatever, cheat on something, or whatever, cheat on a test. There's some thought that you'll have that's futile. Amen? But this says you don't give ourselves over to that. Amen? Being past feeling and giving themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him. I love that. You see, listen, this is not what the church should be teaching. The church shouldn't be making it easier for people to sin. When the church makes it easier for people to sin, it is a church that has become a liability, and it is a church whose father is not God but Satan. Because it is not God who is okay with people still sinning. Now listen, you will make mistakes. You will do things that aren't right. There will be times where you could possibly fall into sin. But that does not mean that you actively are okay with living in sin. And we as a church do not sit there and accept it as okay to actively be living in sin. It's not right. It's not God. It's futile. It will not help us. Amen. In fact, it hurts us. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. See, if you have really heard about Christ, if you really know what Jesus did, if you really understand the cross, if you really understand these things, then you will really understand that God is not okay with you sitting on a bar stool. You will understand that God is not okay with you watching pornography. You will understand that God is not okay with you running around doing whatever you want to do. You will understand these things, amen? And this is a problem in the church, and this is why so many Christians have become hurt and so many families are broken. God has not intended broken families, amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Sometimes families get broken, and sometimes it's because they didn't have God. My family was broken. I was married once before. And I had the two boys from a former marriage, and it was broken. It didn't work out. It wasn't a godly relationship. It just wasn't. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. God restores. So I'm not saying that God will hold something against you forever either. You know what I mean? Or he's even holding things against you at all. It's foolishness to think that God would be sitting up there saying, you know what, you're in this terrible relationship that's just causing you, causing all this pain. And that, and whether it's one spouse or both spouse, whatever, you know, there's ways to act. I understand that if you're in a godly relationship, you still need to act a certain way. God isn't just calling you to leave your spouse. I'm not saying that he's just easy on it either. But what I'm saying is God is not looking for opportunities to hurt you. He's not looking for opportunities to throw your butt in jail, in other words. You know what I mean? There's some people that are always trying to throw people in jail, but God isn't looking for. God's merciful. Amen? Praise the Lord. He said he requires mercy, not sacrifice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. When's the last time we're hearing this at churches? Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. We need to hear this stuff. We need to put off the old man, put on the new man. Because the old man was got you in all that trouble in the first place. When we look at that word renew, it means to renovate. It means to renovate. Amen. Well, one thing I know about renovation, if the renovation is good, it doesn't look like what it was renovated from. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to renovate it. Amen? I've renovated some places. My son's renovating a house right now. Glory to God, it already, and it just got gutted, and everything already looks better than what it did. Amen? You know, sometimes that's the way it's got to be. And sometimes you got to tear things down before you build them up. Amen. But, you know, in life, we got to do that sometimes, I'm saying. But, we aren't looking at the photographs of when we went in as eye candy of what we were, you know, what he's striving towards. You know what I'm saying? When we remodeled the church, we didn't come in. When we did this one, we didn't do a lot of walls. And we did some walls, but we didn't do all the walls or anything. But we did a lot of renovations in here. Why? Because it looked bad. Looked like garbage. Didn't look like a place I want to sit. And if I don't want to sit there, I don't want to preach there. Amen? And God, listen, and if I don't want to be there, God certainly don't want to be there. Praise the Lord. It's time the churches start being excellent again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a pet peeve of mine. We don't have churches that look like they're falling apart and that, you know, ceiling tiles. No, we fix it. Why? It's the house of the Lord. When God told them to build his temple, it was coated. The walls were coated in gold. Now, we don't have to coat them in gold. Praise the Lord. I wish we could. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That would be, you know, it'd be nice if we could. But that's the way the house of the Lord was. But somehow people think his standard has changed. Well, now you can have a church in a broken down trailer. You can do that. But God ain't blessed by that. Amen. And people aren't blessed by that. I've said before, I've gone into churches and I go in, I don't even have allergies. I go in and start having an allergy attack. Why? Because there's mold and mildew and everything like that. This stuff matters, amen? You might think I'm preaching. Praise the Lord. Well, see, this is what happens when I spend time with Reverend Greer. Hallelujah. You just all come back next week. I'll be nice next week. No, I'm just kidding. I'm being nice. We're helping us, amen? Because God brings us up to a higher standard. Amen? I love that about God. He brought me to a higher standard. Glory to God. I don't live in the gutter anymore. Why? Because God brought me to a higher standard. Amen? Our renovation is not renovation if we don't look like the scripture says. If your life doesn't start looking like scripture says your life should look like, then you haven't been renovated. You haven't been renewed. We need to be renewed. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. The life I now live. Listen, folks, if we've been born again, there needs to be a change. We need to look different. Listen, I am not saying that all of a sudden you gotta wear different clothes. I'm not saying that all of a sudden you just have to go out and drive different cars. What I'm saying, or anything like that, I'm not saying that you have to sell your house and move to a different, I'm not saying any of that stuff. What I'm saying is we have to look to live our lives differently. After the Father. Some people think that what I'm preaching, this type of stuff I preach like this is harsh. It's truth. If this stuff didn't matter, then we wouldn't have it written in Scripture. Let me give you an example. It matters how the church looks. It matters how the priest or the pastor looks. Yeah. Yeah. How do we know this? Go back and look at what God showed us. Yeah. You didn't have. Listen, when I came to church, when I first came to church, I came in flip flops and cut off pants. I was a pseudo hippie, you know. Praise the Lord. You know, had scrawly things all over the place. And, you know, and praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, natural. It was natural. Amen. Praise God. That's the way I came in because that's kind of the life I lived. And nobody said anything to me. Nobody forced me to change or anything. But God's standard in me brought me up into some things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am not saying that if you wear cut out, because guess what? When I go home, all I want is cut off. Actually, my wife has to tell me sometimes when we live in Mayville. She goes, "You pastor in this town, you can't go out looking like that." Amen. So you understand. But when I come, you know, when I come to minister the word, praise the Lord. If he's going to have his priest dress a certain way, then it matters that it's. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that I'm not going to praise. I saw a pastor that was doing a wedding, and everybody in the wedding was dressed up. And the pastor was looked like he was about to go out to lunch at like McDonald's. You know what I mean? You're just like, that's the way the pastor was dressed. And I was like, there's something off in that. There's no respect and honor for the things of God. I'm talking about ministers here. You understand what I mean? I'm talking about like the church. You know, you have your house any way you want. I'm not going to come to your house and tell you you have to do anything. But the house of the Lord needs to have a certain standard, needs to have a certain, well, praise the Lord. I just feel like this is going over so well. Hallelujah. We're just going to get on over to the other side. Hallelujah. But it's the truth. Amen? Why? Because God has a high standard. God does have a high standard. He's not okay with his, you know, God saved us when we lived in sin. Great. That's wonderful. Praise God. He saved us when we lived in sin. Amen. When we were worthless, when we were dirt, when we were worth not even the dirt we were made of. That's when God saved us. But what does it say? He says he wants to transform us. He takes us into something else. What is that? Just the way we... I'm not putting a focus on just the way things look or the way people dress and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is the life of God reflects in all areas. That things come out. When you see Jesus, when he set the madman of Gadara, when he set him free, praise the Lord, he was bound by demons. And what was the guy known for? He was filthy, dirty. He lived in the muck. He lived in the tombs, and he cut himself, and he was nasty. Nobody wanted to go around him. I'm sure he stunk because the man didn't even shower. You understand? Or he didn't shower back then. Not many people did, but he didn't bathe. And the Bible tells us all these things about us. What happened as soon as Jesus cast a demon out of him? The whole thing changed. His standard raised. He no longer lived in the tombs. Started cleaning himself up. Actually, he went around preaching the word. People could listen to him now. Before, they wouldn't listen to him. Praise the Lord. People wouldn't listen to me in my former life. Why? Because there was nothing in me that was reflecting, that was a reflection of God. But when we look at God, we need to, you know, when God told Moses to build the tabernacle, he told him to build it according to the plan which was in heaven. That it mimicked the plan that God built the tabernacle in heaven. Amen. So we understand when we look at the streets of heaven, they're paved with such pure gold, the Bible says, that you can see through it. Hallelujah. It's so pure. It says that there's the gates. Have you ever seen a pearl? The gates of heaven are carved. Each gate is carved out of a whole pearl. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, that's not ugly. Have you ever seen a pearl? How beautiful they are. Praise the Lord. See, this is what God lives in. And this is the standard that he wants us to live in too. This is a reflection because our outward living is a reflection of our inward living. The way we are outwardly is the way that we are inwardly. So if we're spiritual people, God brings us up. He raises us up to look like something different. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that, again, I'm not saying that like simple living or is not good, because I love simple living and I know that it's good. I know that if you think that I wear a suit at home, you're sadly mistaken. In fact, it's a chore for me to get a suit on. And not just because I'm a little bit bigger boned these days. Not just because my bones have grown, praise the Lord, but it's a chore for me to get it on because I don't like doing it. I don't like putting on. What do I do? I'm honoring God. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that, you know, congregation members have to all wear suits or you're not, you know, don't twist what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there has to be standards of excellence. The whole thing comes down to, how do we follow God? If we're following God, He will show us what to do. He'll show us. There's times I go to put something on and I don't even need my wife to tell me, because the Holy Spirit on the inside of me is going, don't wear that. Then I try to wear it anyways, and what do? I end up turning around changing. Amen? Because that's what happens. Amen? I don't know why I'm on all this stuff particularly, because you guys know how my notes go. I don't have them. I have a very few. I have scriptures, and that's what I preach. And the Lord brings things out as I preach. At least we think it's God. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. Hallelujah. That's just a little bit funny. Amen? You can judge it, though. It's real easy to judge. You just look at the Word and say, hey, does it line up with the Word or doesn't it? If it doesn't line up with the Word, well, you better know that it's not God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, that's just your opinion, Pastor Jeff. Praise God. Glory to God. I love the Word. Amen? And I'm being sanctified still. You understand this. I ain't got there yet. But God's working in us. Amen. But you can't, listen, you can't know the direction. Listen, we're coming home from Tennessee. There's a couple different ways you can go. Amen. But, you know, if you don't start out, you'll never get to the end destination. You know, it took quite a few hours to get home. Amen. You can praise the Lord by the end. We're all like, you know, yeah, let's get home. You just want to get home. Tired of being in this car or whatever. But, you know, there's a process of time, you know, that goes by. And, you know, as you go, you learn stuff about the road. And, you know, well, praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Romans. We're getting close here. I better be, right? Man, how can I have that many scriptures left? Romans 12. Let me just read this to you. Romans 12. You take down the note. If you're taking notes, write it down so you can look and see if I was lying later. But we have it up here too, just in case you believe us a little. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 12, 1 through 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. What he didn't say present your attitude. I mean, your attitude matters. But that's not what he said. He said, present your bodies. Yes. What does he mean by present your body? Well, we all better start lifting weights, look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Praise God, because that's what he wants. We all better be like fit, thin, and trim. That's not what we're saying. But, I mean, that could be part of it, amen, because we do have to, you know, again, the bacon thing, you know what I mean? But we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Yes. A living sacrifice. Yes. Stay alive. Don't just kill yourself off. Don't end it. You know what I'm saying? We want to stay alive. We're a living sacrifice. You know, why do I say all that? Because when Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac, he wasn't a living sacrifice. He was a dead. He was going to be a dead sacrifice. But God says we're to be presented a living sacrifice, to be alive. As we live, when we go through life, God will show us things that need to be sacrificed in your life. There's things that need to be cut off because guess what? They're just not profitable. They're just not doing anybody any good. You know, there's things that I have done that are perfectly fine to do for anything, for anybody to do, but God has told me not to do them. And why has He told me not to do them? Because what He's called me to specifically, that thing will hinder my life and it will hinder what I'm supposed to do. There's thousands of other people that could do it and be perfectly fine. God didn't have any problem with. But for me, He told me not to do it. That's a living sacrifice. That's taking up your cross. That's saying, okay, Lord, I'll sacrifice that for you. But see, what Christians are, Christians don't, so often, they don't want to hear that they got to give something up, that they just want to hear what they're going to get. Now, God will give you a lot, and He wants to do a lot, but you still have to give up something. You don't belong to you anymore. You belong to Him. Praise God. Glory to God. And none of us should be sad by that, because that very fact keeps us out of hell. Amen. Which is our reasonable service, it says. It's reasonable to think that we need to sacrifice to someone who sacrificed me. It would not be reasonable for me to come home and expect my wife to just do everything and me to do nothing. Right? I mean, she does a lot more than I do, which is reasonable. But it wouldn't be reasonable for me to come home and just do nothing. It wouldn't be reasonable to be part of a family, praise the Lord, and not do anything, right? We have to all be part of it. It wouldn't be you would think it's unreasonable. Praise God. Hallelujah. What's unreasonable for Christians to think that they don't need to do anything for God. That they just, there's Christians that just live, they're like, I'm going to go live my life and then I'm going to go to church to do, just because they think that's doing something for God. Going to church is not doing something for God. Going to church is doing something for you. Going to church is not, God didn't give us church for Him. He did not give us church for Him. He gave us church for us. He did not give us pastors for Him. He doesn't need a pastor. He's the ultimate pastor. He's the best pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is not in need of pastors. You are in need of a pastor. You are in need of a church. You are in need of that connection. You are. He didn't write this book for Him. He don't need this book. He doesn't need rules that He's got to go by. Why? Because He just lives by them. Amen. He wrote this book for us. Jesus didn't come to die for Him. He came to die for us. We needed it. We needed God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. I love that God did all this for us. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you stay in the futility of your old mind, you cannot know what the will of God is. You will never know what the will of God is. You will never understand it. And this is why so many Christians are walking around lost, not knowing what to do, because they have never, ever, they conform themselves to the world, and they don't transform their mind by the word of God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. But it says in Romans 14:23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. If you can't do it in faith, you can't do it without sin. And you can't do it in faith if you don't know what is right and wrong. If you haven't got to the word, you say, well, I can do it. In ignorance, I did a lot of things in faith, but that's not the faith this is talking about. Praise the Lord. God wants us helped. You may say you are doing something by faith, but if you have judged, if you haven't judged it by the word, then you cannot know. Praise God. We judge all things through the word. Oh, man. I got so much. I'm getting really fixing. I'm fixing to close here. Really am. But I just want to get through this. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4. We're in 1 Corinthians. Just flip over. Wow, I'm right there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, this is one of those things a lot of people take wrong. They say, well, God is so mysterious. No, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Yes. Christians are stewards of the mysteries of God. This means that God does not work in mysterious ways. That is a wives' tale that came out of the world, and Christians believe it because they haven't renewed their mind to the word of God and don't understand what God really is saying. God does not work in mysterious ways to those who know Him. He works in very methodical, very planned ways. I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of peace and not of evil. Listen, if you don't know what to do, you're not in peace. And if you don't know what the heck God is doing, you're not going to be in peace. And if you think that God is trying to destroy your life, you're not going to be in peace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let a man so consider ways. Consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The word steward here, this is really interesting. If you look this up, this is what it means. The manager of a household or of a household affairs, especially a steward, a manager, a superintendent. Now, I really like this. Listen to this. This is really important. Whether freeborn or, as was usually the case, a freed man or a slave. So this is somebody who has been bound and has been made free. Does that parallel anything in this conversation? Praise the Lord. Does that show us anything? We're seeing things here, right? So we see this, that we have been made stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, we're the ones who are supposed to manage the things of God. We're superintendents. Now, does a superintendent, do they know something about the school? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Does a manager know something about the business? Yeah. Well, they better or they're not a good manager. Amen. Hallelujah. My wife manages a lot of things. Praise the Lord. That's why they all work, because she manages them. Amen. Because she knows. Amen. And that's what it needs. But it's a freed person or a slave to whom the head of the house or proprietor has entrusted the management of his affairs. Oh my gosh, I don't know if you're getting this. But this is really good. Amen. This is really, really good here. The care of, I didn't write this, by the way. I'm not saying I'm very good. I'm saying that the word is really good. Praise the care of the receipts and expenditures and the duty of dealing out the proper portion to every servant and even to the children, not yet of age. Praise God. In other words, we are supposed to be God on this earth. Yes. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me, I'm not talking heretical here. I am not saying that we are God. I'm saying we are supposed to be God on this. We are supposed to be doing his affairs. That's what he's made us to be. Amen. We are servants of God. Amen. He has made us to do this. If you are living in a sinful nature, if you embrace a sinful nature, you will never be a steward of God. You can't be. And if you're not a steward of God, you don't get the things that a steward gets. A steward has access to all the things that they need. Amen. There is no manager that goes that the company says, well, guess what? I want you to do your job. And not a good company anyways. I want you to do your job, but you have no resources. You have no employees. You have nothing to help you. You just got to do all this work. No. What do? They hire people. They put people in place. And God has given us the same duty. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. John 16:7-8 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage I go away. Jesus said this. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So we knew Jesus. See, I remember thinking, man, it would be so much better if Jesus had just stayed. But Jesus said it was to our advantage that he went away. He's sending the helper. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In other words, he's going to guide us into those things. And we know through other scriptures in John 16 as well that we understand that the Holy Spirit's job is to lead us and guide us in that way, in those ways. But if we reject those ways, we're not truly living free. See, living free was connecting to the things of God and saying, I don't live that life that bound me anymore. I have the freedom to do anything that God has me to do. If he's called me to it, God will direct us. He will say, hey, I want you to go climb this mountain. You'll say, I can't climb this mountain. But because God said that you can, he's given you the ability to. And so you'll find the ability there. You know, of course, that metaphor can mean anything, so many things, if God's called us to it. That's why it's so important to know the plan and the will of God. Amen. I'm going to close with this. Luke 22:42. Praise the Lord. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Amen. This was Jesus' prayer right before he went to the cross. In his flesh, he didn't want to do it. But he said, Lord, I will consecrate myself to your will, what your way is, the things that you want to do, because I know that it's right. And aren't you glad that he did? This is the same thing that God is calling Christians to. He's saying, conform your will to mine. Just get to that place where you're willing. Just say okay to the Lord. Say, you know what? I'm tired of living that life. I'm not going to live that anymore. I'm going to live according the best that I can, according to the word of God. And you watch how that spirit will guide you and lead you into all perfection. Your life will work out. The trials in life will become, they won't be problematic anymore. I'm not saying they won't come. I said they won't be problematic. You'll always have your answer. God has not set us up to fail. He set us up to win. Praise the Lord. Are you free? I want you to ask yourselves that. Am I free? And if you're not, get on board. Even right now. Amen.